I want you to look at your bulletins just for a minute. And right there on the inside, I've kind of highlighted, because we're hitting a very important issue today, because you've heard me say over and over and over again that salvation is based on faith alone. James, what in the world are you talking about? A person now justified by their works and not by their faith. Some have wrongly read that, and I want to give you kind of two basic theological views. The first one is, faith plus works equals salvation. And those that are legalistic, they kind of probably remind me of this little sign right here. Give Jesus a try. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back. Probably here, believing the faith and the works, faith plus works equals salvation, means that at some point you stop working, you lose your salvation. Please listen to me. Please listen carefully. James does not say that. James nowhere says that. What James does say is the second one there. Faith and works equals proof of something that happened before. And we're going to get into that. And I'm going to get into a good argument with you about what James is saying. Now let's kind of just go through this here. First of all, James says that words are worthless. Words are worthless. Let's look at what he says. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers? It is so key to catch that little phrase. Now he says, what good is it, or what profit is it, what advantage is it, my brothers? James fully believes that he's speaking to people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's not the issue. The issue is, James is not saying, you guys are lost. This is how salvation works itself out. He's talking to believers who had trusted in Jesus Christ, but they're not actually living it out. And so James, he says, what good is it? It's a pointed question. If someone says, notice verse 14, this is the positive statement. If someone says he has faith, that is, the Greek word there, faith in all aspects of the gospel, Jesus coming, his dying, his resurrection, all of the aspects, his ascension to the Father, all of the essential elements of what it means to be saved. What good is it, my brother, if someone says, and the Greek word there specifically says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. It's somebody that repeatedly says that I have tasted the heavenly gift, I have embraced the Holy Spirit, I am a Christian. This is what James says, but does not have works, deeds, or works, or action. Listen, James is not attacking salvation by faith alone. Matter of fact, James does not anywhere say works plus faith. What does James always put first? Faith. Faith is the essential starting. And James is moving forward saying, okay, this faith which should be alive in your heart is not being worked out. James is calling them and correcting them. He's not saying that you are lost. He's not telling his audience, you are lost. He's telling them, wake up and get moving, because you've embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What James is attacking, now listen to me, what James is attacking is verbal confessions of faith. Words are worthless. You claim to be a Christian. Well, the question is, are you going to church? No. Are you reading your Bible? No. Are you helping people? No. Are you involved in any way in the church? No. Are you... Okay. Then you're just making a profession. What about a doctor? Let's take a doctor for a moment. Doctor goes to school. They graduate medical school and they learn biology, which I would flunk. I'm not good at biology. Just ask my wife. She's really good at it. She remembers all the stuff. If this doctor graduates, goes out in the world and says, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm not going to treat people. I'm not going to do anything. Well, they're a doctor, but they're a doctor in name only. Here's another good one. We all love this position, don't we? No, we don't. What if this dentist, went to dentistry school, learned everything there was to know about dentistry, but then never actually practiced it. Never actually did it. Never actually worked on somebody's tooth to help them. Well, then they're a dentist, but they're a dentist in name only. And that's what James is attacking. He's attacking those who say that they are a Christian, but probably have not really ever been transformed by the power of Christ. Now notice he says here, a second question, can that faith save him? Pistis in the Greek word there for faith, means a demonstrative faith. We'll get into that when we get into 21 and 20 through 26. It's going to come into a key again. Once we close that loop, then you'll understand what's happening. Notice again, please. I believe James is using this as corrective. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, that is, he's embraced the gospel, but does not have works, it's not evidenced in his life? Well, those are serious questions, and I think it's reflective questions. I think that they were actually not doing this, because you remember, as we studied, the rich person would come into the congregation, oh, you sit here, and the poor person would come in and they say, oh, you know what, you stand back there, you're not really important. What kind of faith is that? And it comes back in here. Matter of fact, hey, look at this. He gives an illustration right here, what I was just talking about. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, this is verse 14 through 16, or 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, go in peace. They understood that. James' audience understood that to be a farewell. They understood it to be a farewell, but also a prayer wish. This is true. You can look it up. Also a prayer wish that may God take care of your needs. James is saying you can honestly walk by people in the church who are downtrodden, who need food. If you can honestly walk by these people and say, feed yourselves, be warmed. That's what James' words. Just you do it, and actually, also, it's those who will come up and say, well, you got to get a job and pick up and do your own and make your own way and do that. I'm not going to meet your needs because you're not doing it. James says, I'm going to say this. Our church does that very well. We do that very well. Let me throw another thing in here. You guys know I've said this, told the first group this. They didn't revolt too bad against me, but I believe basically that God's will is pretty simple. Thank you, Bill. I believe God's will is pretty simple. A lot of things that we like to go home and pray about, that we put under a religious banner. God, I saw a need here this morning, and I have the ability to meet that need, but I'm going to go home and pray about it and see if I'm supposed to meet that need. James would say, what kind of faith is that? If you see a person who is in need and you don't meet it, then there's an issue. You don't need to pray. There's certain things you don't need to pray about. You don't need to pray about loving your neighbor as yourself. We've already seen that. You don't being nice to people. We know that that's something we're supposed to do. We don't go home and, should I be nice to this person? Come on. And when you see a person that has a need and you look at it and you have the ability to meet that need and you don't, come on. I don't think you need to pray about those things. Now, if you don't have the financial resources to do that, then it becomes a different issue. But to simply look at a need and go, well, I'm going to go home and pray about it and be all spiritual and ask God if I'm supposed to help meet that need. James says, if you see a brother or sister that needs food or clothing and you just walk away, he says, come on, that's not right. There is a need. He says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and do it yourself. You're basically saying, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, but watch this. Please watch this. James, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Oh, go take care of yourself. That's not how God did us. God saw our need. He saw our spiritual need for salvation, and he sent Jesus Christ and died on a cross. And we get transformed, yes. I do believe that's absolutely right. I do believe that when we see needs, we're supposed to meet those. God put those right in our way to meet those needs. Not something to be prayed about or thought about or discussed. Unless the need is great, obviously, unless you can't meet that financial need, I think you're supposed to meet it. Those are actions that we're supposed to take as believers. That's called putting our faith into action. We can call ourselves Christians, but have we truly been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? And if we have, then these needs are to be taken care of. And I'll say this, our church does that better than anybody, or at least the churches I've been in. And that's being serious. Because I know if there was a need in our church, it would be met by the time we left this church today. So I'm commending you on that. Secondly, he says that words are worthless like faith minus works. Oh, no, Pastor. No, please don't put that in there. And he gives the application. Notice what he says. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Paul says it this way, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, Galatians 5:6. Notice what he says here. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, James is saying that the very nature of the gospel is living. Do you know that? Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. In other words, the branches are connected to the vine. And the vine supplies all the nourishment for the branches to grow and to flower and to produce fruit. When you are connected to Jesus Christ, that will come out. You will flower. You will give fruit. You will give evidence of that. And I think James is trying to correct an issue here where these believers got saved and they said, well, that's all there is to it. We get saved. And we're very good at that as Baptists. Particularly Southern Baptists. We get people down to the altar and we lead them in the sinner's prayer. And by the way, I bet you I've prayed the sinner's prayer with people and they've never trusted in Christ. Thank you for the affirmation. And we get them in the baptistry, we dunk them, not tridunctant immersion where I go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We send them out and say, bless be with you, and we leave them to their own devices. Maybe not even saved, because see, I think there's going to be people that do not get into heaven that have prayed the sinner's prayer. That's right. Because this is why I say that. It deals with it here. Did the person really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Did he die? He died on the sin. You have to believe it. You do realize it's not just a repetitious prayer. You do realize this whole thing is about do you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? And when that's in there, James says it is impossible for that to be set by itself. Faith by itself without fruit is a dead faith. And the Greek word here, listen to this, the Greek word for dead is dead. It means not living. Not breathing. In other words, James is trying to shake his audience awake. I love this little. I was scanning for something to put on the PowerPoint, and this is what I came. This is great. Faith lies here. No works would she do if only she had read James 2. Silly girl lived a long time ago. You see that works. Or words are worthless, like faith minus works. It's a dead faith. James says that's really not faith at all. And we'll see, just trying to hold and soak it, just hang on, we're going to get there towards the end. Secondly, then James makes a real good argument, like faith minus works. In other words, words are worthless. Just telling somebody you're a Christian is basically worthless if it doesn't have works attached. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Mike, you said faith by, absolutely, faith in Christ alone. But by the very nature of the gospel, since the gospel is the seed which is implanted in our heart, that seed will begin to grow if it was true seed. I've got to plant my garden. We've been trying. I told Emmett in the first service, I feel bad. I haven't planted my garden. You can't right now because it's too wet and the soil's not ready for it. And that's the way a lot of it is. And some people that come forward and they say, I want to trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior, pray a sinner's prayer, go home, dunk them. Hey, you're in the kingdom. No, you're not. The kingdom begins when that soil has been prepared in the heart and the seed takes root. The gospel takes root. And listen, I don't know any other nice way to say this. I'll smile while I'm saying it. But if there's no fruit, then you gotta question the root. How people can say that they received Christ 20 years ago and they've never been in a church because they don't like the organized church. You never see them open their Bibles. James says it this way. Here's the argument. But someone will say, and I think James is looking down the road here because it's in the future sense, someone will say, this is an argument down the road. I think James saw that this is going to be a huge theological debate. Those that believe you can lose your salvation, which I do not, and those that believe that the salvation is secure. James is picking an argument here. Look at what he says. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. That's an objection. And this is the rebuttal. Show me your faith apart from your works. Show, the Greek word, means to demonstrate. It means to demonstrate the faith that you have. Not that you go out and build churches and do all these things, but that you demonstrate the faith which you possess or profess. Because, see, once the Holy Spirit lives in you, it will come out at some point. Now, thank goodness I'm not God. Because God can see to the true nature of things. And I realize there's some things that keep people away from the church. They've been hurt, whatever. But eventually, you're going to go back to it. You're going to want to read your Bible, these types of things. It will come out. It's not based on that. But it will come out because of that relationship. And now, I want you to think about it. James is really saying, I can't see your faith. In one sense, faith is invisible. But in another sense, faith is very visible. I've met people that they're so busy and they love Jesus so much, you can just see that there has been a transformation of the heart. James saying, show me. It's like Missouri, the show me state. Show me, demonstrate it. James is trying to wake them up to say it's not just, you know, one little thing. This thing comes out. This thing is demonstrated in life. And then James goes on to say in this argument, he goes on to say, I will show you my faith by my works. Please do not leave here thinking James is saying faith plus works equals salvation. He is saying faith and works demonstrates that there has been a heart change. Dennis, you're going to love this. Here we go. You know, I knew you would. I put it up there just for you today. These guys right here, by the way, we're watching the Braves and Phillies. We're not doing this. So. These cars right here, these are NASCARs. And you know these cars go over 200 miles an hour? They go fast. And I don't know why these people are sitting up here because those guys flip. They go out. I don't think I'd be there. Those cars really go fast. Dennis and I are watching them on TV. I mean, if you're there, I don't think you get whiplash or something if you're watching it, the race. But these guys go fast. Now, the question is, you think, boy, that car is fast. No, that car is not fast. This external does nothing. When you pop the hood on this car, there's an engine inside. There's a nice engine on the inside. That's what keeps that going. That's the same way salvation is. The car in itself is empty and void. It's what's inside that causes the car to go. Same way with us. If the Holy Spirit is dead, not in there, you can do a lot of things that's never pleasing to God. It's when the Holy Spirit comes in, it begins to produce. It is a living entity. The Holy Spirit takes residency in your heart and begins to produce fruit. And if there's not fruit in there, then you got to do the question, can that faith save him? It's a valid question. It's a very valid question. If the person, I'm a Christian, but you never see them running the race of life in the Christian realm and doing what God has called them to do, those simple things. They can walk by people, be rude, hard, hold, harsh, insensitive, mean. I'm a Christian. Words are worthless, just like faith minus works. Then James goes on and says to the Jews, I think, verse 19, please look with me. You believe that God is one, you do well. Every Jew believed in monotheism. They believed in God. Guess what? James' Greek word here, please catch this because now we're getting into the meat of it. James' Greek word there for believe is this. Look, everybody look up here. If you're falling asleep, please wake up. Look up here. James' word for believe is here. It means you have an intellectual understanding of who God is, but there's a disconnect with the heart. We should all want to think about God monotheistically, in the sense that God is the Father of the universe, Jesus Christ is His Son, also involved in the creation, and the Holy Spirit, monotheistically, in the sense of the triune God. You do well. But James says, okay, even the demons know about God here, and they shudder. They realize that somewhere down the road, God is going to have a judgment day. They're going to come under that judgment day, and they shudder, or they are fearful. I've seen people that have been fearful of God but never trusted in God. Never trusted in Christ. It's all intellectual. Mere words. Mere talk. Now notice he closes this little section out. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? And this goes back to wisdom literature from the Old Testament. Sounds like a proverb. You foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless. He's not claiming that these people are lost. He's merely trying to wake them up to the reality that faith and works are somehow connected, and this is where it's connected. True faith includes action. And he gives us the example of Abraham, who was declared righteous. Let's look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Oh, James. I can't believe James blew this. This is, you guys know the story of when Abraham was called to offer Isaac up. James misquoted. Because if you go back, nowhere does Genesis 22, 1 through 14 say that Abraham was justified. Is James wrong? Well, no, actually James is right. Because the word justified here means proved, demonstrated. Not justified in the sense that Paul uses justified, as in a sense of a right standing. James says that it was justified. By the way, do you know where Abraham's salvation started? 31 years earlier in chapter 15, verse 1. Thank you, Bill. That's another, Bill, you're on it today. In James chapter 15, verse 1, it said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, the same one that James uses. What in the world is going on here? James is saying that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Then 31 years later, as Abraham walked with God, he demonstrated that faith. He had walked with God. God called him to do something that was extraordinary. And Abraham could have said, you know, God, I believe you. No. Are you getting the clinical picture here? James is saying that, yes, Abraham believed God, and at that moment, it was credited to him as righteousness. But as Abraham walked with God, matter of fact, if you look at pictures of Abraham's walk with God, sometimes you're going to go, what? Abraham did a lot of funky stuff. But let me tell you, when it counted and God called him to do something, that seed that was sown 31 years earlier, and there were other acts that Abraham did, but this is the big one. James would have instantly known what he was trying to say here is not that he was justified by his acts, but that he proved that the conversion that he had years ago was genuine. That puts us in a whole different light. That this is you do understand. You see this knife right here. He was ready to kill Isaac, his son. And it wasn't that Isaac, listen, it wasn't that Abraham was justified in that act in the sense of made right with God. It just proved that the act that he did 31 years earlier in Genesis chapter 15 came to fruit at this particular moment. And he said, and by the way, the place where this took place was the Lord will provide. I challenge you. Go read that text yourself. It nowhere says Abraham was justified in this act. James is applying the Old Testament act to make a correlation between saying words are worthless, just like faith without works is dead. You got to put this thing into action. You got to actually take your faith. What if God calls you to do something, Christian? What if God calls you to do something in your life that you cannot otherwise do on your own? Are you going to be Abraham? Are you going to be able to move out on faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you? You know, when I took this church 3 years ago, that was a faith issue. I don't know you people. I didn't know you people. Now that I know you, well, I didn't know you. You didn't know me. You were trusting on what? Faith that I would be the right person that God was bringing here. And I trusted on faith that those are the works of faith that James is talking about. He's not talking about going around driving stakes in the ground. That may very well be. But James is talking about when the Word of God, which is implanted in your heart, begins to grow, you begin to see the world differently, and you don't need, serious, and until I'm proven wrong on this, there's some things that are very clear that we're supposed to do that we don't need to pray about. When God speaks, then we obviously have to move, obviously, because this is a big one. James is not saying in this single act, I asked the first, you guys got this? Thank you. Because James' use here, whenever you see James, it's he demonstrated what happened years ago. I once heard a man when I was in seminary, Bible college. And I'll never forget it. He broke down and cried in class, and he said, 20 years ago, God called me to preach. But I had my career going, and I didn't do it. And this guy wasn't just little tears. He was really crying. Snapshot. Yeah, I believed he was saved because he was walking away from God. Eventually came back and said, now I'm going to do your will. Again, if you took a snapshot of my life or your life at some times, you know this to be true. I don't need to tell you this. If you took a snapshot at your life, you'd go, what? That's not what counts, not the snapshots. It's this and following Christ is what counts. And then we're not going to always do it perfectly. I understand that. You see, this verse 22, you see that faith was active. Now you understand what he's saying. You see that Abraham's faith was active along with his works and completed by his works. That is, shown. Completed means to show to be genuine. Did you guys catch that? Shown to be genuine. Not a counterfeit salvation, but a genuine salvation that worked itself out. That's probably the ultimate act. That would be tough. In verse 23, and now James goes back. Listen, now James goes back and picks up chapter 15, verse 1. Notice what he says. And the scripture was fulfilled that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Get that. And that he was called the friend of God. Now he goes back and he picks up the event that caused that. If you go back and you read Genesis 15:1, you'll pick that up. Not just true faith includes action. That was one example, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but he gives a second example, and that is Rahab. Rahab was an outstanding woman in her community. She was a good citizen. Actually, Rahab was a prostitute. Did you know that Rahab's in the line of Jesus? A prostitute. Jesus never had problems with those who were downcast, sinful. Jesus had problems with those who were proclaiming self-righteousness. That's who Jesus had problems with. Now, Rahab, when Joshua sent the spies into the land to spy it out, she said, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to take care of these spies. And she actually kept them safe so they could go out the other way so that they could get the report back to Joshua who sent them in the first place. This is a prostitute. I want to know, where were the religious people? Those that claim to be, that know God, where were they at? Well, they weren't anywhere to found. But this young lady right here, who was a prostitute, trusted in God. And from that event, look what happened. Rahab put her faith into action. Get the picture. Get the clinical picture. It is the moment of faith and belief in Jesus Christ. It is that moment. Without that moment, nothing else matters. But in that moment, when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there something happens on the inside, doesn't it? Those of you that are saved, something happens on the inside. It's like your spirit says, aha. And from that, when that chaplain led me in that army prayer, guys, I kid you not, I knew at that moment I was saved. I never walked out. I ran back to we were in the field. And I ran back to the barracks and started, hey, man, I just got saved, to all my lost friends. That didn't go over so well. You just need a beer, Mike. We'll get that religion out of you. I knew I got saved that day. Guess what? Jesus has never left me. Nor will he. Because I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. But in the process, from infancy at 23, 22 years old, at infancy, yes, to be born again means to be born anew. At that moment, from infancy, I used to drive Audrey crazy when I'd go to Sunday school as a new believer. I think, and Audrey's like, oh, she had been a Christian 3 years. Everybody in the group just kind of stares at me. I said, you know what? I think God gave us the body to protect the spirit. I learned now that's not quite right. I said a lot of funky stuff when I was a young believer. But now I've matured and I've grown. Who did that? Me? I'll tell you who did that. The Holy Spirit that lives in me, who actually owns me. And it came out in my life. And as I grew from babyhood, if you want to call it, in Christ, to probably teenager right now. I still fight with God on stuff, just like you teenagers with your parents. But I'm growing. I have not arrived. You only arrive when you see Jesus face to face. Rahab put her faith into action. Now, the question is, okay, Pastor Mike, how does salvation work? I'm going to tie it in with verse 26, just 1 minute. Let's go back to verse 23. Abraham believed God. That is, he trusted in God. And it was counted. What does that mean? I had to have this lady sit still 3 times while I took her picture. Because she was, I'm just kidding, I got it off the internet. Didn't really do that. You go to the bank and you deposit money into the bank. You take your check or whatever it is that your employer gives you. You run down to the bank. You write a deposit slip and you deposit that money in there. That's exactly what this word means. It means deposited or credited or counted in your place. Very interesting that he uses this financial term. Because actually, God is making an investment in you. And that investment pays off as you work out your salvation. We're going to get into that too. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. There's a reason James said that. But as that investment, God invests in you in the person of Jesus Christ, which is the most expensive, by the way, the best. That begins to work itself out. And what happens is, he says here, notice this, it's pretty clear. This is how salvation works. You trust in God, and at that moment, God deposits something in your heart. Holy Spirit, for sure. But he also deposits what is called righteousness. That is a right standing with God. That's what it means to become part of the sheepfold. But see, would you keep your money in something that wasn't growing or even losing? That's maybe an analogy James getting here. That this righteousness that deposits works its way out. I don't know of anybody in here that would put their money in a bank that would constantly, or an investment, that would constantly lose an investment. Well, my money's losing again. I'm going to keep it there. No, you'd pull it out of there. I'm not saying that he's going to pull salvation out of you, but it's an oxymoron. The issue here is that if it's in there, it comes out. It's impossible to keep it suppressed. You can't suppress it. And at that moment, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at that moment you become, I told the early crowd, I'd be a horrible new Old Testament priest. We saw a, you know, I don't have any compassion for coyotes. Maybe that's my problem. We saw a coyote running one day, and he was running across the road, and he had a chicken in his mouth. And he saw us coming. We were coming down the road, and a coyote stopped, and he looked back like, I did something wrong. I said, I know you did. You shouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't have any problem at all hitting that coyote and taking him out. I know, you can email me afterwards, pastor@firstbaptistchurch.net, but these little guys right here, I had a real hard time hurting them. I think that's what James is getting at. If you're a sheep, you have a hard time hurting other sheep. You follow the shepherd. You follow the shepherd. Who is our shepherd? It's Jesus. It's not Pastor Mike, although I am his shepherd in the meantime until you get to Jesus. You can explain to him, yeah, our pastor was goofed up, but he was goofy and all that. That's fine. I have to stand before the great shepherd myself and give an account. I think Paul said it this way. This is great. Watch this. Paul says it. He's going back to this too. This is Genesis 15:1. This is why it was credited to him, who's that, Abraham, as righteousness. The words "it was credited" or deposited to Abraham were written not for him alone, check this out, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe, trust in Jesus Christ, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. When you trust and believe in Jesus Christ, you have, guess what, experienced Genesis 15:1, the Abrahamic faith that it took for him to step out and follow God. Our spiritual, our earthly, or whatever you want to call it, spiritual father is Abraham. Well, we have a heavenly father for sure. But our faith goes back to Abraham. Abraham establishes the faith in Genesis chapter 15 and works its way out just like it does in our lives. Don't go out of here today saying Pastor Mike said it. It's faith plus works equals salvation. That's not what I'm saying. Please catch it again. Faith and works demonstrates proof. It's totally different conclusions on that. And nowhere, and if I didn't say this, let me say this. James nowhere goes works plus faith. You notice what James always starts with? Faith. You can't have any, you cannot have salvation. That's what they had in the Old Testament. Works. Do. There was obviously belief in God, and Abraham demonstrated it first and foremost. And it, like I said, you get excerpts of his life, it doesn't look like it. But he did. Our faith is connected to Abraham, and guess what? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit is deposited into your heart. Go read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. As a guarantee of our inheritance of the salvation that we have. At that moment, please don't miss this. At that moment, if you are a born-again child of God, born-again child of God, it will come out. It will come out. And if it doesn't come out, please go back and look to make sure that it's in. That you're not relying on what your parents did or a baptism that took place 20 years ago. That doesn't get it done. What gets it done is the Holy Spirit who comes into the heart of a true believer, and you can't suppress. You can't suppress it. And then James hits the point one more time before we move on. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Here's a big one. You know what the Greek word dead means? Dead. It means not living. In other words, James is shaking these people and saying, look, the Holy Spirit that lives in you, let's get busy. That Holy Spirit comes out, and if it doesn't get busy, then let's go back and look at the root. Jesus said it the best. I love Jesus. This is what he said. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man is in me, he will bear much fruit. The question is, are you connected to the vine? Do you know Jesus Christ? That's the issue. And I realize you're not going to do this perfectly. I realize that. None of us do. But that's what true faith is. True faith is accepting Christ and having the Abrahamic moment when you get ready to do what God tells you to do. Are you saved? Isolate. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Not does your parents know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Not are you a member of this church and been baptized in this church? Throw that out for a minute. Do you personally know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what matters. If that's happened, then how are you walking with God? You doing good? You obeying the word and doing all the things that he tells you to do? Are you doing it? I think that's what really James is driving at. I don't think he anywhere in here, by at least the Greek and my Greek understanding of these words, nowhere does he say these people aren't saved. He's trying to get them moving. Get them to look at with sensitivity at these poor people. That's why he said it. That rich poor theme, you see, it's been woven throughout this. He uses that as an illustration to say, look, your words are your words. It's worthless. Action is what counts. Paul says the only thing that really matters is faith working through love. By the way, I did not do this at the front, and now I want you to go back. You guys pull out your bulletins just for a minute. Go back and look at this bulletin just for 1 minute. I put this in at different spots in the first sermon than I did here. Look at this. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. This is a gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. Amen. Preach it, Brother Mike. Salvation is not by works. Now look at what Paul says. We often omit this verse. Look at the very next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. James was not disconnected from Paul. Paul was not disconnected from James. Paul understood that when you get saved, something comes out. Matter of fact, God has prepared for us to walk and do good works. We like, man, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, please, but then we forget 10. Which Paul follows right up on it and says, God has prepared. So the prepared good works are right here. This is where the prepared good works are. When you see something, you do it. Come on. When you come into a homeless person, you just don't walk by, particularly in the church, which is where the setting is. You walk by a person and you go, oh, you have a good day. May God bless you. Peace be with you. You go back and you say, I'm acting on faith. God said me to take care of this, and so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take my time and do it. Not let's go home and pray about it and come back and maybe the guy's gone. You don't have the opportunity anymore. Faith and works demonstrates that the faith is genuine. Faith plus works equals salvation is false and nowhere taught in the Gospels. That's the difference. And we've gone through here and tried to show today that James was speaking about the oldest faith of all, the true, genuine faith, was Abraham's. Let's pray.